the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Have you ever felt stuck in a pattern of negative thinking or behaving? Perhaps it was a harsh rebuke or an angry retort. You felt sorry as soon as you said it, but you couldn't seem to stop yourself from saying it. Or perhaps it was an annoying habit that you know irritated people around you, but you couldn't seem to stop yourself from repeating the habit. We've all been there. We've all experienced things in our lives that we wish we could change, but we struggle to change them, or at least change them permanently. In our lesson this morning, we read from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. And in chapter 3, Paul contrasts our former lives with the lives we are called to live in Christ. In verse 8, Paul writes, "But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." And in verse 12 he writes, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do." It is clear from Paul's writing that he believes not only we are capable of change, but that we must change. We are to put off the old man and put on the new man, as if we were taking off an old coat and putting on a brand new coat. This is our calling in Christ Jesus. But we are not in this alone. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. As Paul makes clear here and elsewhere, through the gift of grace and the work of the Holy Spirit, God is working in us to change our hearts, to make us more and more into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's doing this through three main avenues or pathways. First, God changes us through his word. As we've read, or as we read in the Old Testament, how God worked in the lives of Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, and many others, we learn how God works in our own lives. We learn of the righteous requirements of God. Without his word, we would have no idea of the origins of sin and how we are to combat it. We would have no idea of the Ten Commandments and of their moral requirements. As we read through the Psalms, we learn, like David, to express our doubts, our fears, and anxieties to the Lord, and we receive his comfort in return through them. In the Gospels, we learn of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in the letters of Peter, Paul, and John, and others, we learn of the eternal significance of Christ's death and resurrection, without which we would not understand the meaning of his death and its importance to our future. In all these ways, God changes us as the Holy Spirit speaks to us through his word. For as Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." Secondly, God changes us through trials and tribulations. As I mentioned in my Ash Wednesday evening message, God uses our trials and tribulations to mold us into the character of Christ, much as a potter molds his clay into instruments of service. As painful as it may sometimes be to experience these trials, God is using them to mold us into instruments of His grace in the life of others. Through our trials and tribulations, God is working to make us more humble, more loving, more forgiving, as Christ Himself loved and forgave us. If our lives were filled with ease and our relationships flowed effortlessly, we could not and we would not grow spiritually. A butterfly is one of God's most beautiful creations. Yet its transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly is long and arduous. It begins as a tiny egg, fragile and delicate, much as we begin our lives as helpless babies, unable to care for ourselves. Then the egg hatches into a caterpillar, and as a caterpillar, it can do little more than eat and crawl along the ground. But eat it does, growing bigger and stronger. For a period of time, it begins to form a cocoon around itself, and for a period of time, it lies dormant in its cocoon. But during that time, the caterpillar is slowly transforming itself from a crawling insect into a beautiful butterfly with brilliantly colored wings. Finally, as it struggles to free itself from its cocoon, it bursts forth into a fully formed monarch butterfly. Many have drawn parallels to the Christian life from studying the transformation of the butterfly. Some have even tried to aid the butterfly in its struggle to be free from the cocoon by cutting open the cocoon prematurely. But they found that to do so only ended in the destruction of the butterfly. You see, the butterfly needed to struggle in order to give its wings strength to fly. Without the struggle, the butterfly was unable to fly and so withered and died. Similarly, we as Christians need the struggle of our daily lives to enable us to grow spiritually. Without the struggle, we remain stuck in our habitual patterns of sinful behavior. Finally, God changes us through the people that He brings into our lives. We may be irritated by the people we work with and challenged by our spouses and children, but these are the people that God has placed in our lives for a specific purpose, that of bringing our lives into conformity with Christ's love and forgiveness. It is interesting to note that much of Jesus' teaching and more than half of Paul's admonitions have to do with our relationships with one another, both inside and outside the church. For example, Paul writes in verse 19 and following, "Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." Have you ever looked into a pool of water and seen smooth, flat stones lying on the bottom? Those smooth, flat stones began as jagged pieces of rock, but over centuries of time, the swift running water wore them down until they were smooth and round. So it is with us when we submit ourselves to the transforming grace of God in our relationships. Of course, any attempt at holiness must first begin with Christ. The former Bishop of Liverpool and noted author J.C. Ryle writes this: "Would you be holy? Then you must begin with Christ. You will do nothing at all and make no progress till you feel your sin and wickedness and flee to Him. He is the root and beginning of all holiness, and the way to be holy is to come to Him by faith and be joined to Him." End quote. During the season of Lent, and throughout the year, we must ask ourselves this question: how committed are we to spiritual growth? Are we committed to growing in Christ, or have we become complacent and passive in our faith? Let us spur one another on to grow in Christ-likeness. As Paul admonishes us in verse 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, hatest thou that nothing has made, and dost forgive those the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of thee, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.